Welcome to Pastor Talk. Join us as we discuss the issues of the church and the matters of the heart. We pray that you will be encouraged and strengthened today as we join our host, international evangelist and longtime pastor, Tom Sears.
And welcome inside of this edition of Pastor Talk. I am Pastor Tom Sears, senior pastor of New Beginnings Church in Lost Creek, West Virginia. And we're excited to spend this time with you. This is the final program of 2018. As we approach a new year, and as I like to say it, new opportunities. And I say it that way because I believe that God, well, obviously he gave us the breath of life today. It is the precious present. It is the precious opportunity that we have to impact this world for his kingdom. My personal email address is pastorsears@gmail.com, pastorsears@gmail.com. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Want to give a special shout out, a thank you of sorts, to those listeners via PodPoint as our numbers continue to grow there of individuals who are subscribing to this program. We want to say thank you. We are truly honored to be a part of your lives and your ministries. It's like I said, a tremendous honor. Today we want to talk about, as we approach another year, I had the opportunity to talk with New Beginnings Church this morning, actually, about getting connected or staying connected or getting reconnected to the true vine. That scripture found in John chapter 15 begins with Jesus saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Jesus is, in fact, the true vine. He is the true vine that we are to be connected to. As we approach yet another year, I'm a very reflective person, so I like to reflect upon my life, changes that I need to make. The very definition of insanity is to continue doing the same thing over and over and yet expecting a different result. I hope that as we look at our spiritual lives, we notice, we understand, we need to make changes. And I don't say that in a judgmental way. I say that as I believe that's the honest to goodness truth, because there's something about all of us that needs to be changed. And that changing process is by allowing God to walk you through it. It's about taking his hand and allowing him to guide you through the process. You know, the beauty of what God does in our lives, in my opinion, the blessing is the process. I mean, think about it. From point A to point B, we always are ready to get to point B as quickly as we possibly can, but the changing, the process, the blessing is taking place between point A and point B. So God has a way of taking circumstances, taking situations, and using them to make us better. And knowing that he is the true vine, we need to be connected to him. It is our prayer as we move forward into the year 2019, that you will in fact make a very deliberate effort to get connected, stay connected, or get reconnected. I'm joined in studio today by Kevin Poth and Daniel Johnson. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good to be here, Tom.
Thank you for having us.
So we talked about it this morning here at New Beginnings about Jesus being the vine. There was a portion of Scripture that really stood out to me that I'd like to really help guide our discussion today. And by the way, you know, after service, I was having a conversation with some individuals and felt the power of God, and really God began to speak into our lives. And this is after church, by the way. This is after church. And it's just wonderful, just absolutely wonderful to have that experience and that opportunity to be in his presence. But anyway, the point I want to make is really comes from verse 5, and it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I think we've read that a lot of times, but I challenge the church this morning to think about it from another perspective. If Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to bring forth much fruit. Could it then in the reverse be true that if we're not bringing forth much fruit, we're not abiding? Question.
True. Jesus even said that I abide in my Father and my father in me. Mm-hmm. And he was here to glorify the Father. So what he's trying to say, if we're in him and he's in us, then our fruit should glorify him.
I agree. Kevin?
Coming from a farming background, you have to have good growing conditions. If Jesus is the vine, he is the best word comes to mind, vibrant.
Okay.
His leaves they're not dull, they're not brown, they're not yellowing, they're green. They're full of life. And fortunately, when we accept the Lord, we are grafted into that vine. We were of different stock when we were in the world. We were of a different vine. But he has grafted us into his vine, and it's full of life. And then once we are grafted in, we become full of life. But if we're not grafted there, we're in a dying vine.
Which brings its own set of consequences. So let's talk about the fruit. So when he says you will produce much fruit, what does that look like? For the listener today, what does fruit look like? What is he talking about?
What comes to my mind is the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, patience. And against these things, there's no law. We start taking on his character. When we were in... I've heard you say many times before that people thought you should be sober and stoic and all these things, and you felt like you couldn't be yourself.
Right, right.
But farmers will graft two different fruits, like two different types of apple together to get a different flavor. We are supposed to have the love, temperance, patience, those fruits, but they become sort of flavored with our personalities. If that makes sense.
It does. It does.
So
you begin to take on his personality. You begin to take on his character. Let's back it up a second. Abide means to live. Abode is home. So what he's saying is I want you to live with me. I want to live with you. I want to be with you wherever you go. Right? I mean, so if you live with someone, you know, I know this from being married, you begin to, you know, my wife and I, at times, it's crazy because I'll be driving down the road and she'll say, hey, what about this or that? And I was just thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like you begin to take on each other's personality and characteristics because you know each other so well. When Jesus says, we're going to know each other so well that you're basically not going to have an option but to produce much fruit. It's going to be seen. I like to look at it like we are so close that they're not seeing you anymore. They're seeing me. Is that a good way of putting that, guys?
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps coming to my head that that's true. But then I say, you know, you don't see, what about the person that has the fruit but doesn't have, you know what I mean, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like,
are you
the whole reason being to have the fruit would be the relationship is what I'm trying to get through my head. That okay. makes the whole difference. So,
So are you saying, like, someone may be a very loving person, but they don't necessarily have a relationship? Is that what you're saying?
Right. The fruit that he's talking about when you're cut off. So why is it that you're cut off? You know, you're not producing fruit. So you're talking about being around your wife all that
yeah.
much time, and you take on that.
Right.
So that would have to come down to relationship.
Correct.
To be able to take on okay. that form of... That's kind of just what's bouncing around in my head.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I look at it this way. If you're not connect, the only real fruit to be seen is his fruit, right?
It
originates from him.
Right.
So if we're not connected to him, it's impossible for his fruit to be seen through us.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. You're going to produce what you're connected to.
Okay, good. So, go ahead.
I'm trying to decipher the difference between him cutting you off and you having the fruit. So, at point in time, somebody was bearing fruit at one time. So, and they were cut off. Right?
Well, the way I read it is if you're not, are you saying they once produced, but now they're not? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Like they're producing. Well, I'm going off of your preaching. Preaching this morning.
Okay. Which the listening audience has no idea.
Right. And I'm going off this. So anyway, there was a point in time that you're cut off because you were connected to be cut off, right?
Correct.
So then that somebody was producing fruit at one point in time.
Right.
So okay. I'm thinking like this person got cut off, but can somebody naturally be trying to produce that fruit and you know what I mean? And be trying to produce that fruit to where they're doing some of it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But yet can't keep it up. But why?
Okay.
Because of the relationship.
Okay. Now I'm trying to decipher what you're trying to decipher.
Right,
so there's a whole lot of deciphering going on. But this is good.
Naturally, you think about it, you know, some people do hold good fruit. You know, there's some patient people out there.
Right. But
you know
you're saying
I mean?
They're not necessarily Christian or connected to the vine.
Right.
Okay. So I guess my immediate response, and this is totally, you know, off the cuff type thing, I would think that, you know, yes, I agree those characteristics are out there, and I think that those fruits naturally come from God. You know, so I think that there are things that are planted in us from our Heavenly Father, because He is, whether we like to think of this or not, He is the Father of us all, even those who do not accept Him. So I think that things are planted into us, so a person is patient. Someone maybe loving, but not have a relationship.
Right.
What I would say is that there is a limit to how far that person can go versus a person who is connected to the vine.
Right.
Because
right.
it's the power, it's the source, and it's not our fruit in the first place. Because
if you're doing it just to produce that fruit, chances
yes.
are it's not going to last.
Correct.
It's, you know, it's that relationship that, you know, you're connected to God, which helps you.
Okay.
Keep producing that fruit.
Okay, and I also think that there are the circumstances where people, they have natural talents, they have gifts, they have abilities. You know, like we've talked about it on Pastor Talk in the past, that there'll be deception and different things that will be there, that will be present in the church. The Bible talks about it very clearly, that there will be that deception, even those prophets who sneak in unaware. We read about that. We've talked about that. So I think that there are natural gifts and ability that people have, but that only gets them so far. Talent only gets you so far. Ability only gets you so far. And a statement that I made in church this morning is that unfortunately most churches are absent of the anointing. The anointing is absent in a lot of churches today. And so talent and ability, it moves people. It makes people emotional, but it doesn't destroy the yoke of bondage that's on their life. Only the anointing can do that. And that can only be accomplished through being connected to the true vine.
I've heard this, excuse me, similar statement Without the anointing, your talent will take you where your character won't keep you.
Say that again.
Without the anointing,
okay,
your talent will take you where your character can't keep you.
Gotcha.
It'll take you up the diving board. You'll jump off into the deep end. But without the anointing, you won't be able to swim.
Okay.
You can put on the show like I'm anointed. Mm-hmm. You can learn how to preach like you're anointed.
Mm-hmm. True.
All that stuff can be learned and that stuff can be taught. But without the anointing, what you're saying is not going to change anybody's heart.
I've heard a minister talk about two anointings. You have the anointing that is within you that you should nurture, that keeps you. And you have the anointing that is on the outside that God uses to minister to other people. And it makes sense to me. What I heard them say, and I think it's very similar to what you just said, is that if you don't nurture the inner man, if you don't nurture the spirit man, anything you have outwardly will crush that. So that's kind of what you said, right? So say it one more time, the anointing.
Without the anointing, your talent will take you
where your
character won't keep you.
Okay, so that would be the crushing. So you may possess tremendous gifts, tremendous abilities, but without the anointing, there's a limit, right? When we talk about Jesus being the true vine, us being the branches, another point that came up in that scripture, the first seven verses we read, was that if you're bearing fruit, he'll then purge you so you can bear more fruit. And I told the church this morning, you know, because it's very easy for people to be like, yes, amen, hallelujah, great, glory to God. But if I could be so bold and so blunt, maybe, no one really enjoys the purging part. It's necessary. It's needed, but it's not fun. And that's where he says, it's kind of like my grandfather loved flowers and rose bushes and all those things. And so when I would stay at his house, he'd wake me very early in the morning and we'd go out and I hated it. I hated it. I miss those times now, but I hated it. And I'd have to go out and he would be trimming those rose bushes. And I remember him telling me one time that it was a necessary thing to do for the health of the overall plant. So when Jesus talks about purging us, what is he talking about? What does he mean?
He's talking about pruning us. With fruit trees, or even tomato plants, which are very popular in this area, mm-hmm. you have to trim off what's known as the suckers. What they're doing, they're sucking life out of the plant. They're using up resources just to have leaves, but they're not producing the tomato. When you trim or prune the tomato plant, you're allowing the plant to feed more into the actual tomato. And it's getting rid of the things that are just using up resources and looking pretty. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants to do with us. If we're producing fruit, he's going to trim off the things that are holding us back to producing even more fruit or even better fruit.
Yeah, and I was thinking about something that looks like his fruit, but not really his fruit.
So counterfeit.
Yeah, so basically, you may look like mine, but when the judgment comes or when you're cut off. I mean, the Bible talks about the judgment and separation. You may look like his. You may do everything that you're supposed to be doing, but yet you're not producing the fruit that he requires within us. So that's where to the world we could look like that we're one of his. But yet if we're not producing the fruit that he expects us to be producing, then he would cut us off.
We're taught that you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. I think that kind of tags off of what you were saying there, Daniel. I think back to what Kevin was saying about the suckers on a tomato plant. They look fine. I mean, they're counteracting the progress of the plant. That's the thing. It's counteracting the progress of the tomato. If you want a full, healthy tomato, you're trimming or pruning that plant back because it's taking the vital resources, the energy, the attention away from the tomato. I think about that from a spiritual point of view. From a spiritual point of view, Kevin, as you said, if there are things in our lives that we allow to hang around, like those suckers on a tomato plant, they are sucking the energy, the life, the passion, whatever, the attention away from the fruit that God is trying to produce through our lives. So that's why there is the purging process. That's why there is the pruning process to trim back those things in our lives that are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not beneficial to the overall progress that God wants for our lives. And I think that as a Christian, we often fail to think of, I don't know, I just think maybe there's a misconception sometimes that, you know, you give your heart to the Lord and everything's peachy, everything's great, and then there's no other work to be done. And I think that's so wrong because you could look at Jesus' life as an example. It was a process. His Father was constantly doing something in him, through him, to grow and prepare him for the moment where he gave his life for all of mankind. And you look at the Garden of Gethsemane, he falls down, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But the growth, the maturity there was, but not as I will, but thine be done. So God has more in store for us, but it's the suckers, it's the distractions of our life, it's the sin, it's the things that we hold close to our hearts that really don't matter, that are keeping us from walking in the fullness of God's purpose. They're also putting us in a position of danger because he says if you stop bearing fruit, you're going to be taken away. You become just like that sucker. You look the part. You look like you're supposed to be there, as you were saying, but you're not really supposed to be there. Right?
Yeah.
We get to that place, we have the green leaves. We look like we're part of the vine. And I can remember we had several apple trees on our farm. And crab apples. Anyway, you always went for the lowest one. But the lowest limbs are the ones that get damaged the most. You've got animals coming up, eating, they break branches, whatever. But if we're not careful, our branch can get broken. We can have an apple. We can have the fruit hanging there. But if that fruit is not to maturity, and if that connection's broken, that fruit gets corrupted. You can walk up one side, look pretty and green, like you want to take it and eat it, but once you pull it down and look at it, the other side's starting to rot because it has lost that connection. We have to be careful that we're always maintaining that connection. We, through relationships and attitudes and whatever, can start to sever that connection. And if we're not careful, we can cut ourselves off the vine.
So it's maintenance.
Maintenance.
You know, we live in a world where the things we have, a car, for instance, requires maintenance. You don't maintain a vehicle; it's not going to run. It's going to break down. I was just looking here while you were talking, Kevin. In verse 8, it says, "Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." So what Jesus is saying is that the whole purpose of you bearing fruit is to glorify the Father. We live in a world, unfortunately, where it's about us.
Right.
We live in a world where it's about how big my church can be, how pretty it can be, how much whatever we can have, whatever we can do. Even as selfish individuals as we are sometimes, it's about how we look, how we sound, what we do, all these different things. But what Jesus says is, you're going to bear fruit to glorify the Father. We need to take a step back and say, listen, this is not about me. I like that Casting Crowns song that says, only Jesus. I don't need you to remember me, basically. You don't need to know my name, only Jesus. It's to glorify the Father. It's to lift his name up. And Jesus said, if you'll lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, it's not about us. It's not about our ministries. It's not about our fruit, our talents, our abilities. It's about showing what the world needs. The world needs people who will stand forth and put on display not what they think, not their fruit, not their emotions, not their opinions, but to put on display the fruit of the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
That's what the world needs. The world needs Christians like never before. And unfortunately, we talked about this on several programs ago, that the world maybe has lost confidence in the church. I believe, can I just be honest? I'm going to be, so I'll just do it. But I had someone who the What's Important Now program that I have hosted since 2003. So what is that? 15 years, going on 16. I have a faithful listener who listens to that program, and they came to me and they said, "So what are you thinking?" Because it looks into politics and current events and kind of applies the Bible to it. And I said, you know, we may have reached, we were talking specifically about our country. And I don't like to think this way, but I'm just going to tell you what I said to them. I said, well, we may have reached a point of no return. And people don't like to hear that, and it's contrary to what people think and what they believe. And I don't like to feel that way. I don't like to think that way, but that's what I said. And they said to me, they said, the only thing that's going to change it is a great awakening, a resurgence of faith, a revival hitting this nation and coming back. If what they said is true, and I believe that it is, we need revival. We need another great awakening. In order for those things to happen, it's going to have to be his fruit being put on display, because the world is tired of seeing the church hijack what God has. We want to manifest our abilities. We want to manifest our gifts. We want to manifest what we think, when what we need to do is put him on display, show him to the world, and the world will be drawn to him. I'm sorry, it just fires me up a little bit. I mean, that the world needs true Christianity like never before, and I'll tell you, I hate to say it, but it's true. It's hard to find.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even like the word Christianity, because then when you think of Christianity and the how the world thinks of Christianity, it's just another religion. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Yes,
it wasn't a religion. Jesus isn't a religion. He is the truth. He was here before time. But going back to the fruit thing, the Lord had put something on me. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm growing a tomato plant. Tomatoes rotten. I usually just let it fall off by itself. But that's not a good gardener. You know, like Kevin said, you got to clip that thing.
That's good.
And, you know, if we're to be like Jesus, and he clips off the bad fruit that doesn't produce, then shouldn't we clip off the bad stuff that it's in our lives that's not producing the fruit that he expects us to produce?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you saying that brings something else to my mind. I mean, it kind of just opens up this window of revelation. Okay, so from taking what you just said, a lot of people may read this and say, if Jesus is so loving, why is he so quickly willing to just take the ones away not producing fruit, the ones that are rotting? Why is he willing to do that? And I think we've answered our own question. I think we've answered that question here. He has to do that.
Right.
I believe it was the Apostle Paul that said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Right.
He is looking out for his people.
Right.
He's looking out for the betterment of his church. And a rotten piece of fruit, a Christian who is disconnecting from the vine and doing their own thing, going their own way, he has to isolate them.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that it's that he won't go after them and pursue them.
Right.
It just means that they're going to be isolated. I don't know that I ever really looked at it from that perspective, but based off of what you said, I think that's true. Because, Kevin, you were talking about the suckers pulling the energy, pulling the life out of the rest of the fruit, and really isn't that what someone who's just playing games, well, isn't that what they would do?
Well, think about the term of, it has to be absolutely dead before you're basically going to clip it off. You know, you think about it. Something that has a little bit of life, there's you can nurture that and bring, you know what I mean, bring life back into that. And that's what he does in our lives as a Christian. It's okay to struggle. The struggling is where you determine whether you're going to be a real Christian or you're just going to be somebody. Because a playing Christian is not going to struggle.
No. That's right.
Christian is going to struggle because you're not only struggling with the outward things around you, you are struggling with the sin nature that is within you.
It's kind of like something I've said in the past, guys. I've said something along the lines of, you know, if you're in the battle, you're fighting. You know what it's like to fight. But if you're not fighting, you'd have to question whether or not you're in the battle.
Right.
I'm pulling up some statistics that I think speaks to where we are as a church. This is according to Legionnaire Ministries. Just under half of Americans, 45%, say there are many ways to heaven, which conflicts with the traditional views about salvation being linked to faith in Jesus. So that's just one statistic. I'm going to pause there for a moment and discuss. Nearly half of those who claim to be Christian believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. As Kevin, I see you shaking your head.
The thought that comes to mind is they've been deceived. They have not taken to studying the word for themselves. They've taken in what the pastor said. They've taken in what other TV personalities have said, other religions have said, and come to the line of thought that comes to mind is that a loving God wouldn't do that.
Right.
But that loving God is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If anyone tries to enter through any other way, he is a thief.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus clearly said that, right? I mean, so when you say being deceived, that's exactly what it is. They're deceived to believe a lie. And the Bible says you believe a lie and be damned. I don't think we take the Bible serious anymore. I think that we're teaching, and it starts in secular education. We're teaching that it was a nice, neat little document. It's the best-selling book in the entire world, but it's not really relevant to where we are today. And I see that same attitude, you know, in our republic here in America, that, you know, the Constitution, it was a great document. It's the longest-lasting Constitution in the entire world, but it's not good enough for today. That's our mentality. And I bring that up because I believe that the success of this nation is directly a result of the Bible and God and Christianity and all that. But I guess that's a program for another time. But the reality of it is, I think you're right, they've been deceived. Now, how about this statistic? And it kind of builds on that. 67% of Catholics and 55% of mainline Protestants are most likely to say heaven's gates are wide open with many ways in. So it takes that first statistic of half of people who claim to be Christian, and then you break it down, Catholics at almost 70%, and then mainline Protestants at 55%, that's over half, believe that you can get in various ways. Evangelicals, 19%. And black Protestants, 33%, are far more skeptical. So you take those two groups and you say they're not buying that. But isn't that startling? That's scary, isn't it? I mean, to think about, you know, America still is largely considered a Christian nation. But when you begin to look at the statistics, it tells a different story.
Yeah, and there's other religions out there that say Jesus is the only way, but they want to be able to do whatever they want to do. You know what I mean? I mean, that, you know, that just, I don't understand that. You know, Jesus is the only way, but yet he taught not to do things, and this is how you do it. But yet you want to come up with your own ideas of what you want to do and your guidelines, and it does not work like that either. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Another statistic. Go ahead, Kevin. Go ahead.
brings us back to what we discussed a couple episodes ago of the Jesus that is served in many churches is not the Jesus of the Bible. When we start making false gods, we start making our own rules. And those rules don't line up with the Word of God, because the Word of God requires us to change. We don't get to stay the same way we were.
Thus, staying connected to the vine.
Correct. We want to have the green leaf, but we don't want to go through the process of the pruning to actually produce the good fruit. We want to claim that we're connected to the vine. We have the pretty leaves, but we don't have any of the fruit, and eventually we're going to get cut off.
Another statistic, about half of Americans, 53%, say that salvation is, in fact, in Christ alone. 4 in 10, or 41%, say people who have never heard of Jesus can still get into heaven. And 3 in 10, or 30%, say people will have a chance to follow God after they die, which is, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I chuckle, and I guess it's probably not funny, but I don't understand that logic. You know, so let's back up. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening on this program, we are going to tell you the truth of what the Bible says. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're just going to be honest with you. And if you're listening today and you think there's any other way into heaven other than Jesus Christ, as Kevin just recently stated, you are a thief and a robber. There is no other way to get in. You cannot get in any other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except it be through me," the words of Christ. So, you take a nation that was founded upon the Christian principles found in the Holy Word of God, the Bible, and you fast forward to 2018, and it's a split decision. Americans can't, you know, half of Americans believe Jesus is the only way, and half of Americans say, well, there's all kinds of different ways. It begins to show you how we have strayed away from the traditional values found in the Word of God. And we're no longer connected to the true vine. We're no longer connected. That way we can't produce true godly fruit. And let's be honest, there's a lot of good things that a lot of good people are doing. And I think this goes back to something Daniel said. You know, they're doing good things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're connected to the true vine. Because there are good things, there are great things, and there are God things. And we got to find a way to walk into the God things.
Yeah, because good things, you know, you just doing good things, that hasn't bought your, you know, you haven't received the price, you know what I mean?
Paid for our salvation.
Yeah, you haven't received that. So, you know, and basically, I mean, you're just out there. You know, you can do good things, but yet you have no guidelines of what good things are. You're just doing those because that's what you think you should do, and that's no reason to be doing. I mean, it's good that you do good things, but that's not going to get you anywhere.
Amen.
We can do works all day long, but that's in our own righteousness without Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's even iniquity, which is sin, and the wages of sin is death. No matter how good we make it look, we can feed the starving kids in Africa. We can go to India, help the lepers, build buildings, do whatever. But if we're not doing it with Christ in our hearts, that's not going to get us any closer to heaven. We're deceiving ourselves. I heard one person say, "All I have to do is try to be good and treat people right, and I'll get into heaven." Mm. I about fell out of the chair, because I know the truth. I've been raised in it, but that's what he's been taught all his life. Without the truth, everything in our lives will go askew. The Lord says, I have a plumb line in my hand. He's holding it. When you have a plumb line, it's directly in line with the point above it. When you're building a building, you're setting a corner for a foundation. You set that plumb line, and where that point is underneath is where you set the corner of the block. They set one when they're setting the cornerstone to a foundation of to a building, and everything else has to line up with it. God is holding that plumb line, and we have, which is His truth, and we have to line up to it. If you put pressure anywhere on that line, it is no longer in line with God.
Yeah.
We have changed it.
Verse 10 in John chapter 15, actually back up to verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what he's saying, in essence, is, you know, following his word, keeping his commandments, doing the things that he has taught us to do is actually the key necessary to live in a place called abiding. So then, if we don't keep his commandments, naturally, we begin to separate from the place called abiding, which produces separation with the true vine, which then produces death in the fruit, and, you get a little spoiled.
Yeah, and I had this one guy I had worked with on the last job. He's an older guy, and we'd talked about the Bible and stuff, and he said that one of the things that I caught my mind, he said, you know, he goes, I come down to the decision, he goes, a person just needs to go to church and do the best they can, and they'll be all right. But that's false teaching. You know, that's what he's been taught. But that's not what Jesus was teaching. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And you can't get in any other way. Mm-hmm. You can't just do the best you can and get in.
Well, and I think that that's the misconception of some people. I think they think that if they can just go to church, you know, show up once a week, and that makes them a good Christian person. And it really, what's absent from that is a relationship. What's absent from that is presence. What's absent from that is the intimacy that is required to be connected to the vine. And, you know, and I said something like this today, you know, people run to Jesus almost like he's a dashboard Jesus. They run to him to fix all their problems, take care of everything, but then they forget to live for him. And he is a fixer, and he can fix anything. But there's requirements on our end. And Jesus just said it. I'm going to read it again. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. It's a direct connection. If you want to abide, you have to obey. Right? I mean, if you want to abide, you have to obey his word, his truth. Up there in, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. We're also trying to walk this road of abiding and producing fruit without connecting with his word, his truth. You can't keep his truth if you don't know what his truth is, which requires relationship and study of this precious word.
Yeah, and you're talking about wanting. We're always wanting him to do things for us. If he isn't at the top of our list of wanting, then we're in bad shape. We can want all we want, and he's probably going to give it to us, because the Bible says he does good to those who doesn't obey him, and the wicked and the righteous. So he's probably going to give those things to us, but that stuff is, you know, isn't going to do us any good. And, you know, people work for jobs. How do you work for a job? How do you try to get the job that you want? You apply for it, you go through the necessary steps to try to get that job. Well, the relationship with him is the same way. You know, when somebody's wanting to get a job, and that's the center of their, that's what they're focused on.
Yeah.
You know, they're focused on getting that job, and that's what they think about. Well, I hope I get this job, and, you know, this and that. Are we seeing Jesus Christ that same way? Is he at the top? I mean, are we thinking that you know, that's our top priority. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to know how to get that position. And, you know, it has to be that way. And then the Bible says all those things will be, all that we need will be added. You know, we won't do without.
Amen. You know, I'm just scanning this scripture. And I think this touches on something that you guys we've touched on today's program. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So when we talk about people who are producing good things, but they're not connected, they are patient, they are kind, they are gentle, they have self-control, they know what it's like to love someone, and people love them, but they're not connected. Seemingly, they have fruit, seemingly. When you take a look at God's word there, he says that I've spoken these things to you. I'm telling you, if you do these things, my joy will remain in you and your joy will be full. And that's, I go back to what I said earlier about there being a limit to what that person can walk in. There's so much more they're missing. For the individual that you referenced, Daniel, that if I go to church and I do the best I can, and, you know, there's a limit to how far that will take them. Right. Without getting into intimacy and relationship with Christ, finding that alone time with him, there's going to be a limit. There's a cap. The beauty of it is, if you get into his presence, that place that's called the Holies of Holies, and you have an intimate relationship with him, there is no limit to the joy. Boy, I tell you, I feel this thing. The joy that he will put into your life, the presence and the power and the anointing, thank you, Jesus, that he will put into your life. There is no limit. There is no cap. That's why you have to be connected. He says, I want to show forth, I want to manifest myself through you. I want you to be the vessel. I want to not put you on display, but I want to use you to put me on display for a lost and dying world who is in tremendous need of truth. The truth makes us free. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You cannot know how to properly love anyone until you've been properly loved.
Right, right.
And he is that love. The world takes love and they corrupt it. The world takes love and they say, well, this is love and this is what love looks like. But you truly cannot know what love is until you've been truly loved. And he, working through our lives, puts love on display. Any thoughts, guys?
Well, you know, you talk about love. You know, even us as human beings, we corrupt God's love by saying that he's just love. You know what I mean? He has to hate what's evil.
Right.
You know, you think somebody that's for abortion, and I heard this said, this isn't mine, I'm going to use it, it's good. To be pro-life, you have to hate abortion. There's no ifs, you know what I mean? You're either on one side or the next. So God, his love is just, and his love's kind, but there's got to be the hate side to him too. There's got to be that hate the wicked. So, you know, and we, as just like Kevin was saying, we make up our own God, the God that loves everyone. No matter what you do, he loves you.
Well, he does.
Right.
But he doesn't love.
But he hates the evil.
He does, yes.
And anyone that commits that, he has to judge that person as a evildoer. And that makes him a righteous God.
And see, that's where a lot of people kind of get off track, because they say, well, if God is love, if he loves his people, I just can't imagine a God that would allow people to go to hell, or a God that would allow people to have pain. And here's the whole thing. We live in a sinful world, a fallen world. And he does love us. But like you guys have said, we are creating an image of God that is not the God of the Bible. And that's where we get off track. That's why it's important for presence and intimacy, to know His Word, to study His truth. And I think that's what's lacking, Kevin, in today's society.
Along with God is love, He's also our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And though I'm not a parent myself, I know that as if I were, I would be out to protect my children. Therefore, if we do wrong, He is there to correct us. He's not going to let us just do whatever we want and suffer the consequences. He's going to correct us. He's going to try to bring us back so that we don't go do it again. He is also the loving and just God. He knows our sin nature. He made the way for us. He's not going to say, okay, everybody can come in. He has to have that separation from sin because He is holy. He asks us, or commands us, to be holy as He is holy. Through His Spirit, we can achieve that, allowing Him to work through us, that we can enter His gates. He's made the way. We don't want to follow that narrow path. We don't want to go through that narrow gate.
Yeah.
We like the path that is wide. That is, we can swerve from one side to another.
Do whatever we want.
Do what we want. There's no consequences. And that is the teaching of today, that there's no consequences.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard anything we've said, please hear, there are consequences. Unfortunately, you know, the one statistic said that 30% of Americans believe that after you die, you can still find God. Well, I guess maybe that's a partial truth, because you're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, you will meet Him. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that encounter is not going to end well. And we can argue about whether God's a God of love or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, He is full of love because He's given us opportunity. And that opportunity is, He looked at this world, a fallen world, and He said, I am going to send my Son into the world so that every person has an opportunity to live. The criteria, the prerequisite, is that we have to accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. We like the Savior part, not the Lord part as much, because that means that we become His servant. We give Him control. We say, my life now belongs to You. We give up our rights to bad attitudes and jealousy and strife and contention and all the matters of the heart that we talk about so often on this program. We give all those rights away. We don't hold to them anymore because we realize our life is not our own. We gave our life away for His cause, for His glory, so that His fruit could be put on display. Well, we're up against the clock, and the program's winding down very, very quickly. And as always, I want to thank Kevin and Daniel for being here with us. We always try to have a conversation. And although we knew what we were going to talk about today, we didn't know what we were going to talk about today. And what I mean by that is we said, well, we're going to take what the scripture I used when we preached this morning, and we're going to have a discussion. And we really do try to do that. There's nothing scripted here. The only script was the Word of God. There is no other script. We just sit and we have a conversation, and we believe that God's anointing shows up in this studio here for us to be able to say the things that we're saying. And we do really pray that you enjoy it. But let's get serious, really, really serious. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because I titled this, Get Connected, Stay Connected, or Get Reconnected. And I believe you fit into one of those categories. If you are an unbeliever and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you need to get connected. You need to get connected to the true vine. You need to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior into your life. And there is no time better than right now, because you are not promised tomorrow. If you're listening to this, that is a gift. If you're listening to this right now, that is a gift you have been given today. You're not promised that same gift tomorrow. So I encourage you, accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. And we'll take a moment here in a minute for that. The other category is stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned this over the last couple years. It doesn't matter who you think is close to God. Everyone is susceptible to falling. There's someone in my life right now currently that I just never would have imagined would turn and run as quickly as they have from the things of God. And it's made me more aware. And it's easy to judge. It's easy to point fingers. But the reality of it is, I got to take a step back and make sure that doesn't happen in my life. And I do that by staying connected. So I want you, the listener, you're connected to the true vine. You're producing fruit. Listen to me very carefully. Stay connected. Whatever you do, guard your relationship with Christ. Grow in him. Be strengthened by him, taking by the hand. And then there's the other category, those who need to get reconnected. You know what it's like. Ministry in life, it's weighed you down. It's made you tired. It's been that thing in your life that, you're worn out. And you've neglected, let's be honest, you've neglected your relationship with Jesus. You know his power. You've tasted of his goodness. And you're not opposed to him. You're not in opposition to him. It's just that over time, you've grown farther from him. Recognize that today. And ladies and gentlemen, get reconnected. Kevin, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to revisit that first category. That first category of getting connected. For the listeners out there today that maybe they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite the listening audience to say a prayer with you. And we're going to believe by faith that God is going to unction their hearts, and they're going to say this prayer with you. And the kingdom of God is going to be established in their life today, and the kingdom of heaven is going to be expanded. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. I repent of my sins. I turn away from what I have done. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again on the third day to give me life and a hope of the resurrection. Come be my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. I give you my life. I surrender all of it to you.
Yes, Jesus.
Come, take me by the hand. Lead me in your truth. Connect me with your vine, that I might have life and life more abundantly in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Kevin, thank you for that. Daniel, any final thoughts before we go off the air today? Anything you'd like to say maybe to someone who was connected but maybe they've drifted? There's a separation between them and the Father. Any encouragement you'd like to give them?
Yeah, I mean, we're nothing without God. So without God and his prom, we have no reason to be here. We're just living and doing whatever everybody else is doing, you know. But, you know, because he stepped out of his place to step down here to come to us when we didn't have a way to him, he made that way. And by us just doing whatever everybody else is doing, we're missing out on that. That's a blessing that didn't cost us anything. We can receive. And then above, all he's asking for us to do is to put him first, to put him above everything else. It's like in the Bible they was talking about, and I'm going to use my own words, but it's like trading everything that you have to buy this field that is full of riches. You know, you may walk a lonely walk down here sometimes. You're walking a walk that very few people are walking. But yet you've traded this for glory.
Yes.
Eternal glory.
Amen.
It's never going to end. This earth is going to perish. It's going to burn up. And after that judgment, the Bible says the books will be open. And whoever's name is found in that Lamb's Book of Life will inherit his kingdom, his presence,
Jesus,
which he died for. We always talk about the streets of gold and everything, but the kingdom is his spirit. That's what came down. And that's what we're going to inherit. You'll never cry. You'll never fear anymore. It'll be, and we are trading that. The ones who accept the truth, the ones who accept Jesus Christ and does not fall to temptation, does not fall to the false doctrine of today age, you know, and false religions and the false gods that's being preached, you're going to inherit that. So endure. That's what Jesus said. You know, he said, endure to the end, and then you'll receive that. So that's the encouragement. You know, we have something greater to look at. All across this world, even in, you know, the religious things, you know, even in the religious world, we have something greater. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that separate, you know, everything. He is the truth, the life. Everything else is a lie. You can have as many lies as you want down here on the earth, but there can only be one truth in heaven. So stay focused, you know. It may seem lonely at times, but you have a greater hope than anyone that's out living in the world. You have a greater hope that one day you'll see the Heavenly Father. All this truth that you've heard about and you've struggled, you'll get to see that face to face. You'll see the, you know, that promise fulfilled at the end times.
Amen. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's obviously it's an honor to share this time with you. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to share the time with you as well. If you were, I think maybe the way I would want to end this program is to think about what Jesus said. He said, "For without me, you can do nothing." I think of that old song I grew up listening to, as my family would sing it. As a matter of fact, we just had our Christmas get together, and it was requested that song be sung. And it's such a powerful song, and that's what it says. It says, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, surely I'd fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus said it best. Without me, you can do nothing. And I speak to every category that I have referenced today. Get connected, stay connected, or get reconnected. So if you are that person that's not connected, without Jesus, you can do nothing. You may think you know love. You may think you know happiness. You may think you know peace. But there's a limit to that. When you know him, there is no limit. If you're a Christian who is connected, stay connected. And I think you know today, without him, you can do nothing. Nurture the relationship. Don't run from the pruning process. Allow him to cut back in your life the things that need to be cut away. And then finally, those who need to get reconnected. Hear me today. Without him, you can do nothing. I want to thank you for listening to Pastor Talk. I'm Pastor Tom Sears. My personal email address is pastorsears@gmail.com, and I would love to hear from you. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Thank you for all of our listeners. I know I said earlier in the program that I was really thankful for the PodPoint listeners because it's an active growing audience. There's no doubt about that. But I want to thank all of our listeners because the audience is growing in every arena as well. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/actionministries. You'll also find some of our other programming that we produce, including the What's Important Now radio program that airs around the state of West Virginia and around the world online. It's a program that we've produced for over 15 years. Also, you can find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcast. The list is ongoing. Spreaker.com. Again, so many places if you want to find us, and apparently, well, you have. Share it. Let others know about Pastor Talk. We pray we've been a blessing. Until next time, for Kevin Poth and Daniel Johnson, I'm Pastor Tom Sears. Thank you so much. This has been Pastor Talk. God bless.